Hello and welcome to another special edition of Campus Beat. I'm Dinah Jansen. Elections and referenda campaign time is still very much underway for candidates and clubs under the Alma Mater Society through January 27th. In this episode, we are featuring coverage of the AMS All Candidates debate, which occurred on Friday, January 23rd, on the second floor of the new JDUC in the Agora, and also via live stream facilitated by the AMS Media Center on YouTube. AMS members are reminded that voting for candidates and student fees takes place over 3 days on January 28th, 29th, and 30th. Watch your Queen's emails for ballots and visit myams.org for more information about candidates, groups, and the election process. We'll turn it over now to the AMS elections team to facilitate discussion amongst AMS executive candidates Alex MacArthur, Drayden George, Edward Tsai, and Avery Papalidis. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Alma Mater Society Executive Election Debate. Before we begin, I would like to start the night with a land acknowledgement. Okay. So we acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Huron-Wendat, Mississauga of the New Credit, Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, known as Cataraqui, or colonially as Kingston. The Alma Mater Society at Queen's University seeks to recognize the importance of these lands to the Indigenous peoples who have existed since time immemorial. The unjust acquisition of these lands occurred through the Crawford Purchase of 1783, a land treaty upheld by the First Peoples but later undermined by the British Crown and the Canadian government. This history of numerous broken promises and treaties continues to impact Indigenous communities today. As settlers on this land, we acknowledge our continued benefit from systemic structures that marginalize Indigenous peoples. Recognizing systemic oppression, it is our duty to actively listen to and amplify Indigenous voices, addressing both past and ongoing injustices for meaningful, positive change. We are grateful to these lands for sustaining us and giving us the gift of life. This acknowledgement is a call to action, committing us to understand and respect the history, ongoing struggles of Indigenous peoples. We recognize the words alone are not enough. Our actions must reflect our commitment to justice and reconciliation. As a branch of the society that strives to connect student leaders and facilitate positive change in student advocacy on Turtle Island, we strive to maintain the core values and teachings from Indigenous peoples. As the Secretariat Office facilitates as settlers on the stolen land, we must continue to educate ourselves and strive to decolonize every layer of our governance system and curricula, and to indigenize our learning. So with that in mind, we can start the debate process. I'm Rachel, I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the Alma Mater Society Secretariat, overseeing the Internal Affairs Office. Alongside me are the Civic Affairs Officers.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm Alexander, and I'm the Chief Electoral Officer.
Hey, everyone. My name is Mirwaj. I am the Chief Returning Officer for this term.
And tonight, the three of us will be moderating this debate. So leading up to last night, the Civic Affairs Officers made a form available where students could submit questions for each executive position. The elections team reviewed the questions and determined a set number of questions to ask the candidates, that being 5 per position. Candidates are not permitted to ask each other questions, and any questions during the debate must be stated by an elections officer. The order of speech will be in the reverse order of the ballot of the executive positions that were ratified by assembly. So for Vice President University Affairs, we will have Edward going first. Afterwards, Avery will speak to Vice President of Operations. And lastly, for the President position, we will be starting with Drayden and then Alex. Moving on to the rules, the order of the executive candidates will be VPUA, VPOPs, followed by presidential candidates. The order of presidential candidates will follow the order ratified for the election ballot. The order will remain for the duration of the predetermined questions as well as the audience questions. So each team will have each individual will have 3 minutes to open and 3 minutes to close, as well as 3 minutes to answer each question. Prior to the debate, members of the AMS will submit questions for the candidates, as well as have an opportunity to submit them throughout the debate using the same form. I serve the right to select questions, and questions will be added only if time remains. So it's up to 3 questions per candidate. A candidate has the option to ask the speaker, the CEO or CRO, for a rebuttal. So a maximum of 1 rebuttal will be allowed per person on any question. The candidate will have a maximum of 1 minute 30 seconds to respond to the question. The rebuttal can only take place after the primary question has been answered by both candidates. Rebuttals can commence only after a candidate asks the speaker for a point of order, at which time the speaker will permit the question. Debates will be published on the AMS webpage, and it will be live streamed/recorded by the AMC. Disrespect, heckling, and personal attacks will not be tolerated, so I have the right to dismiss a candidate from the debate if behavior warrants, as well as anybody from the audience. I will now pass it over to the CEO and CRO.
So now we'll get started with the Vice President, University Affairs, candidate Edward Tsai. Edward, you may now give your opening statement.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this very cold evening. My name is Edward Tsai. I use they, he pronouns, and I'm running to be your AMS Vice President, University Affairs. Now, a little bit about myself. I'm from Mississauga, Ontario. I came to Queens, and I'm now studying health sciences. I started my first year getting involved with a lot of different clubs and different communities because, like many of you, I wanted to find a place of belonging here. I joined clubs like Queens Debating Union. I also started working at the Yellow House as a receptionist and event programmer. From those experiences, I became a little more involved and passionate about doing equity work, so I applied to be the Health Sciences Society IEDIA Commissioner. From that role, I led and directed things like the first ever Equity Gala that has now transformed into Threads. I championed focus groups for equity and accessibility, which has now turned into a multi-year research project that I'm conducting with the Faculty of Health Sciences to produce a training module for faculty. I also became a residence don because, like many folks, housing and food costs are really expensive, and I do not have the financial supports to, fill those gaps. So I also found a lot of opportunity there, mentoring students, creating events. A lot of these experiences then led to me applying to the current position I have as the AMS's Social Issues Commissioner Internal, where I championed institutional equity work across both the AMS, the university, as well as interacting with various governance levels. On the corporation side, I've done things like the AMS Culture and Equity Survey for the first time to help build a better workplace environment for all 1,000 plus staff and volunteers that we have. I've also created the first ever equity working group within the board of directors so that we're having ongoing dialogue around equity issues. On the society end, I've helped countless initiatives and events alongside the Social Issues Commissioner external, such as Threads, Queer Orientation, the Indigenous Strengths Mural. I also helped with I represented over 21,000 students on, I think, over 15 plus university committees, ensuring that every voice is brought to the table in a way that is diverse and that empowers all students at Queens. All those experiences kind of shaped the way I wanted to approach my university life. As someone who is curious and always willing to learn, as someone who is empathetic and there to champion and empower other students, as well as someone who is creative. I love digging into problems and making long-term change. And that's what led me here today, running to be your AMS Vice President, University Affairs.
The first question. The Commission of Environmental Sustainability currently receives the smallest allocation from the Assembly. Do you believe this disparity is justified? And do you have any preference for how commissions should be prioritized in future allocations?
I think that the core issue that this question is talking about is how AMS determines its priorities. Now, I've worked in the AMS for about a year now, and I think there's lots of different opportunities for us to better understand where students want us to put our money towards, whether that's environmental sustainability, equity work, campus affairs, or the variety of other things that the VPUA does and that our assembly allocation funding goes to. At the end of the year, the outgoing and incoming executives facilitate a survey, you know, trying to understand where our priorities are and what student concerns are. And I think sustainability has always, year by year, been one of the top three priorities that students want to engage more. I think that there's so many opportunities for the Commission of Environmental Sustainability to show up to students in ways that many students honestly don't really see, such as with saving money using things like the collective closet or the eco hub as well, or green innovations. I think that with the justification of the budget is a very hard thing for me to say at the moment. I think I've done my consultations with the current Commissioner of Environmental Sustainability. They've had lots and lots of ideas on how to expand this, and I think that sitting down throughout the summer and throughout the transitionary period with the outgoing team to determine where our goals and priorities are, you know, collaborate on developing a budget together, I think that's where we're seeing our how we'll determine our budget for the next year. There are also a variety of different initiatives that I want to help champion that help give more students avenues to shape how the AMS shows up for you. For example, an advocacy town hall where students can bring up concerns around environmental sustainability, such as Queens, whether they divest from fossil fuels, or how the Sustainability Office conducts its work. I think that with the CES, the Commission of Environmental Sustainability, there's lots of potential to explore because sustainability is embedded into every single portfolio. So even if the CES does not receive, you know, the essential fundings it needs, which a lot of times is by the discretion of the VP operations, I think there's so many chances for there to be greater collaboration between the commissions and providing more funding, such as, you know, the Social Issues Commission does things like the Indigenous Medicine Walk, collaborations where we can chip in and commit ourselves towards sustainability across the entirety of our corporation.
Given Ontario's 42% reduction in international study permits for 2026, international undergraduate students faced increased barriers to admissions. What steps would you take to ensure international students on campus are fully integrated into campus life and supported by AMS?
I think the question is complex for me to provide a concrete answer on because I'm not an international student, but that by no means states that I am unable to be an ally, to be in a champion for international students at Queen's. For the AMS to show up for international students, first we need to understand those issues. So creating more avenues for there to be feedback, whether that is directly to the AMS or towards the university, AMS being that bridge towards those institutional decision makers, I think that we need to first gain the trust of international students so that we can be that champion for any of the issues that international students are facing. I think one of the things that I want to see come into fruition this year is a public progress tracker, specifically when it comes to advocacy goals. Lots of times students bring up concerns, but they don't really necessarily go to the right people or they just disappear. When I think of the international students and how AMS could be supporting them, I want there to be more feedback avenues directly to the services or resources that we provide. I know Campus Affairs Commission this year has really done an amazing job expanding the International Affairs Office, or Research Center, forgetting the exact name at the moment, but that's a relatively new thing that has come into fruition in the past 2 years. And I think evaluating where it's standing now, seeing how its mentorship programs and what resources and information it's providing to its students, and whether that's actually meeting what these international student concerns are, that's where I think the VPUA really steps in to understand where AMS should be putting its funding towards. One of my campaign pillars is community, and I want there to be more opportunities for people to come together, especially when international students coming into campus. There, a lot of them come from another country. This is their first time being in Canada. I can't imagine how frightening or an anxiety-inducing that might be. I think that having an AMS that is approachable, having, for example, for example, clear office hours for the VPUA or for, you know, the Campus Affairs Commission, I think is one step forward where we can bridge that gap, because I think community, you know, especially with the rising costs for international students as well, a lot of these issues are basic human rights, and I want to be a champion of those human rights, of addressing or supporting students who are navigating housing insecurity or food insecurity or equity-related issues. The AMS is here to support you, and oftentimes there's that mistrust there that I want to affirm and show up for students.
Thank you, Edward. Our next question. Through the Government Affairs Portfolio, what are your plans and approaches to externally advocate for student needs at the municipal level, the provincial level, and federal level?
I think one of my biggest plans for our external affairs portfolio is to ensure that the average student is empowered and educated on what's happening at the various levels of government or within the AMS and how we're showing up for you folks at the municipal or provincial federal levels. Our Commission of External Affairs sits on the Ontario Undergraduate Student Alliance alongside the VPUA to represent our 21,000 students and to collaborate with other campus student unions as well and present that coordinated front. The unfortunate fact, though, is that we've seen a bit of a decrease, or from my perception, a lack of engagement, especially as it pertains to those USA delegates. There are so many opportunities for students to get more involved, for students to make sure that their voice is heard at such a high level, because the AMS can only really represent what we know. And we need to have those avenues where, for example, as I mentioned, that advocacy town hall where we're coming together and collaborating on solutions is the first step to that. I also want to build more cross-university relationships as well. We're not just meeting to talk about policy papers we're writing, but also a quintessential services that many university campuses share. For example, peer support centers or menstrual equity projects. These all exist at various different forms across multiple universities, and I think establishing a community of practice amongst a lot of our student unions enables us to have ongoing discussion beyond just the few times we might meet for the USA General Assembly or for Lobby Week. I also want to circle back once again. I think having that progress tracker webpage really helps address a lot of these uncertainties around, how am I going to show up for environmental sustainability? How am I going to support international students? How am I going to ensure that I best represent students at multiple government levels? I think, trust is one of the largest issues that we face here at this university, mistrust specifically, that students don't know where to go or don't trust the system enough to provide their feedback. And when we have such huge problems, such as food insecurity or tuition costs, that honestly, the university isn't controlling, one particular person isn't controlling, I think our student voices as a collective is much more powerful than me singularly as VPUA. I want to be that empowering person that students have the resources in education to directly put their voice forward. It's not just always on the AMS, because once again, 100 emails is much more than one from me.
Thank you, Edward. Next question. Bounce was introduced at the start of the year and has recently been used for clubs to submit events for approval. What are your plans to improve the club experience and streamline the event sanctioning process?
Thank you for that question. Over the past 2 weeks, I've conducted over 47 consultations with a variety of student leaders, from faculty, society executives to club leaders. And Bounce and club ratification, club resources, all of those issues keep on coming up as something that the AMS should improve on. I know this past year there's been so many changes towards these processes that are meant to be accessible for students. And the unfortunate reality is that the way that the system is set up at the moment doesn't seem to actually seem like it's listening to those student voices and implementing them in ways that students can see. My plans to support clubs and support event sanctioning is firstly by making these processes simpler and making more educational resources for students to understand these seemingly complex processes, even though they really shouldn't be, because the AMS should be helping club leaders as they're creating more community. This would look like regular weekly office hours with the club's commission, Campus Affairs Commission, but also the Vice President University Affairs. I want there to be continuous avenues where we're sitting down with students and hearing what your problems are so that we can actually effectively address your concerns. I also plan to take a bit more of a research approach to this as well. Being a bit of an academic, I think that I foresee the first few months of my term really focusing on evaluation and auditing. As I mentioned before, there's been so much change in the AMS over the past year that we really need to sit down and figure out what's been effective. And bounce, I think, has been one of the largest issues that I've been hearing. On top of that as well, I want to be able to show up for clubs in many other ways beyond just the administrative processes, not just the administrative barriers that the clubs on a bare minimum have to do, or the AMS on the bare minimum has to show up for. I want to create things like more coordinated discounts, sponsorships, and giveaways with our local businesses and all other companies as well, because I've seen time and time again that clubs are getting sponsorships from restaurants like Tommy's, for example, when it would be, I think, a much more efficient and much more community way of AMS kind of collating, synthesizing, bringing these sponsorships in one place together so the club leaders can see and assess these resources. Access these resources. I also want to develop a flowchart or map on these processes as well, because club ratifications, student activity fees, there's so much of these processes and knowledge that get lost in transition, whether that's within the AMS or for clubs as well. And I want there to be a continual baseline amount of knowledge for students to access and understand our systems.
Thank you, Edward. And for our last question, given the AMS's constitution's commitment to addressing historical and systemic disadvantages and striving for a discrimination-free environment, what specific measures would you, as Vice President, University Affairs, take to mitigate unfair advantages and stereotypes you see across campus?
See, that's just a really loaded question. I've tried to spend the last 9 months of my term as the Social Issues Commissioner Internal trying to understand how do we, change the culture here at Queen's. Coming as a marginalized student, racialized, disabled, queer, I've seen the countless stereotypes and discriminatory acts that students may conduct towards each other, sometimes unknowingly or sometimes knowingly, and similarly as well in our interactions with the system or with faculty or with staff. My plan to address a lot of these historical, systemic oppressions begins with a change management theoretical approach where you have to look at the bigger picture and develop a plan. Currently, the AMS in our principles and positions policy, as well as our equity policy, has broad overarching commitments to equity, diversity, inclusion, indigeneity, etc. But in no way does students, or even myself having been that commissioner, have an idea of that clear action plan and strategies towards collaborating with folks in university administration, such as the VP Equity or with the Student Affairs, to address a lot of these systemic issues. I want, once again, that focus on inclusion and have more direct pipelines between concerns to direct advocacy and solutions. I've had that experience within residents as well, being a residents Don and also the Don representative on the Residents Advisory Committee. I've championed and advocated for the first equity and trust questions in the resident satisfaction survey. I've had students come up to me and are like, hey, in Morris Hall, we don't have a door to our washroom. But being a student leader means recognizing that you have some of those spaces to bring up these concerns. And now, guess what? They have a door. basic things like that. I know it might not address, or it does address the larger systemic oppressive issues, but I think when it comes to our student body today, showing up in those little ways, creating spaces such as the Yellow House where students can come to rest and to feel empowered, those are the small things that create the framework and the supports for all the incredible advocates we have on this campus to champion change, make their voices heard, and shape those systems. I always say this, and you'll see this a lot of times in my campaign, that students have so much power but don't recognize it. Someone sent in a form the other day that they wanted bidets. I said that in an email to the Dean of Student Affairs, and she said, yep, let's get bidets. It's these small things that make a huge difference for equity-deserving students to feel more comfortable, more heard, and more seen by the AMS institution.
Thank you, Edward. Before you go, we'd like you to give a brief closing remark.
Thank you for all those questions, and thank you for all of you to all of you for listening to all my answers. I want to take a second to firstly thank my entire campaign team who have put countless hours towards supporting me. Some of you I see in the audience as well, or some of you who also show your support through other ways as well, reposting, even saying hi and checking in on me. Those are meaningful things that I really, truly value. I also want to express why I'm running for VPUA as well. I was honestly surprised not to see that question asked to me, but I do want to circle on that because I want to tell students that once again, systems in place at the moment don't seem like they work or seem like they can be trusted. I want students to know that student leaders, the AMS, we're supposed to be there to support you. You fund us. If you don't want to fund us, you don't have to fund us, right? And when it comes to how your voice shows up at the table, there are so many avenues that I hope to be able to create more educational resources so you know how to make your voice brought to the table. I also want to make community and belonging a student right, not something you have to fight through so many jungle vines to find. That's why I think my pillars with accountability, community, and efficiency, with the goal of acing your student experience, I feel like that resonates with my idea of what the AMS and Queen's University should be doing moving forward. I also want to take some time to reiterate the importance of voting. The AMS, like many other governments, is a democratic system. We're there to represent your voice. As VPUA, I would have to directly report to Assembly. Assembly tells me what my goals and priorities should be. And I think that oftentimes votes might fall down as like one number out of thousands, but that one number can make a huge difference in shaping what not just next year looks like, but decades down the line. The impacts of vice presidents as well as presidents from decades ago, I still hear their names popping up in casual conversation or on the walls of JDUC. And I want to ensure that the students here today, you know, have that chance to put their voice in. Thank you all for taking the time. I don't know if I'll be able to say this at the end, but I hope you all get home safe. It's a chilly season. Voting is on January 28th. Follow my Instagram, ed4vpua, for more details. You can find a lot more about my pillars and platforms and lots of fun, cool videos coming out soon. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Edward. We would now like to direct the questioning to our Vice President Operations candidate, Avery. Avery, your opening statements, please.
Hello, everyone. My name is Avery Papalitis, and I'm running to be your next AMS Vice President of Operations. A little bit about me is I'm in my fourth year of health sciences, planning to take a fifth year to endeavor in some more leadership positions and get more involved in the Queen's community. I'm from Niagara Falls, Ontario, from a very big family. I have four siblings and three pets. And I guess a little bit about my professional history. I've been consistently involved in student leadership, work, and service throughout my entire time at Queen's and even before. I've been working since I was 14 years old, which has really shaped how I approach responsibility, accountability, and showing up for the people that work for me. In my time at Queens, I've been involved in various clubs. I've even helped start up two clubs, one notably being Proactive Minds, which is a mental health advocacy club on campus. And we run mental health workshops in the Kingston community. And you may have seen me around campus. I've had various jobs since I was in first year. I've worked at Queens Libraries. I've worked at Grocery Checkout. And now I currently work as the assistant manager of marketing and events at Queens Pub. So if anyone follows that Instagram, I am the face behind all of those videos and posts. But beyond my experience in marketing, being an assistant manager for the Queens Pub has really showed me allowed me to gain hands-on experience with operations, staffing, challenges in communication, and the realities of running a student-run service. Working within the AMS services has also strengthened my idea of what it means to be a good leader and has allowed me to see firsthand where AMS services support students and where they may fall short. My three pillars involve equal support for all AMS services, so all students feel supported, valued, not just the most visible ones. My second pillar is more student-focused, transparent operations, so students actually understand where their fees are going. And my third one is building a more connected campus and accessible AMS. I've seen how isolations between services, commissions, and faculty societies create unnecessary inefficiencies on campus. And these are just a few things that I would like to change. So overall, if it weren't for my work at Queens Pub, I would not be standing in front of you all today or running for this position. I'm running because I care deeply about how AMS services are supported, how financial decisions are made and communicated, and how students experience the AMS as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Avery. All right, now on to our questions. What changes, if any, would you make to the current operational structure of the AMS to improve efficiency or responsiveness?
I think this is a great question, and I think that this has definitely been really under the microscope, the way that the AMS services work, how the commissions work, especially in light of the current deficit that I'm sure we all know about. One thing that I really like that I have an advantage with in student government, there's a turnover every year. And while this can be seen as inefficient, it also allows student leaders to start from scratch. So this means sitting down with our general manager, with our controller, with the commissions, and with the services to understand the costs, really understanding what is essential, what are our wants and what are our needs, and kind of finding a middle ground about how to proceed. I think another really advantageous, and you know what I mean, part of this position is, especially going into next year, a big advantage is having real numbers. So how did moving to the JDUC affect revenue of our services? How did our new services like the Brew and Queens Pub actually perform financially compared to our projections that we made at the beginning of the year? So although I don't have this information as of right now, I think it's important to really have these conversations and see how we can address the deficit that we're currently existing in. I think that another really important piece of this is increasing student engagement with our services. I know that it's known that the AMS has seen a 200% increase in engagement with our marketing and communications. This is, of course, a work in progress, and meaningful change does take years. And although I don't have all the answers, I do have a duty to do the best that I can. A $500,000 projected deficit is significant, and I think that students deserve to see a clear return for every dollar spent and understand where their student fees are going in a way that makes sense. So I think that looking at the structures of our current services, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, making goal plans about how to move forward is a super important piece to improve transparency and accountability within how our AMS is structured.
Perfect. Thank you for that answer. On to the next question. Bill 33 expands provincial authority over how ancillary fees may be regulated and charged at universities and colleges, which could affect student-funded services and supports on campus. How do you see this legislation influencing student life at Queens, and what role should the AMS play in responding to these changes?
This is a great question. Bill 33 is definitely a very pressing issue, especially when it comes to Queens experiences on campus and how the student government operates. Right now, I think that one of the biggest challenges with Bill 33 is that we don't yet know what the final policies are and what the regulations are going to look like. The legislation sets the framework, but the details that actually affect how student fees and how student fees are used and how services operate are still being developed. Until we have that clarity, there's really only so much I can responsibly comment on. But what we should be doing and what I will plan to be doing in my role as Vice President of Operations is preparing for when these changes do take place. So this means meeting with Queens leadership, like the Department of Student Affairs, making sure that we understand how the university is interpreting Bill 33 and how we are complying with the legislation. We've seen similar situations like this before, like with the Student Choice Initiative, where changes led to real cuts and uncertainty for student services. At the end of the day, the AMS did adapt, and we still have all of these amazing services that students use every day. We're going to have to go through this again. My priority in any scenario is to protect students, protecting essential services, protecting student jobs, and making sure we're operating in a way that continues to support students. Until any of the Bill 33 policies are finalized, my focus would be on preparation, compliance, and advocacy and education, making sure that students know what Bill 33 is, how they can get involved in the community, get involved in advocating, making sure that they are up to date with all information, and making sure that this is done in a timely manner. So when the details are released, I want students to know about it right away.
All right, thank you for that answer. If a popular AMS service is losing money, how would you decide whether to reform it, subsidize it, or cut it?
I think that a major piece of this is getting student feedback. And I think that also, again, going into the operations position next year, having real data, real information, I guess kind of quoting a recent journal article that came out today, I know that there's a lot of conversation around the sustainability of the Queen's Pub. This is not new. This is not new information. I work at Queen's Pub, so I feel like I give you a very honest, very transparent perspective of this issue, and I do feel like this is kind of where the question is coming from, if I'm being honest. One thing I really want to do is work away from being optimistic and working towards being realistic, while also, of course, incorporating the student voice in any financial decisions. What would they like to see from services? What programming is useful to them? How do they want their student dollars to be spent? I think with Queen's Pub, this is just, again, I'm speaking from experience. Going into this year, we're really commanding QP's space on campus. Where does it fit into campus life? And this being said, we're also dealing with a lot of competitors. I mean, you can go down to Chuck's and you can get half price apps and $5 pints. How is Queen's Pub supposed to compete with that? And I think that gaining student feedback, looking at the real numbers from last year, our foot traffic, I think that our projections from this year were a little bit big. They were big. We had very high expectations going into this year with the pub's projected revenues. And now I can go into next year looking back, seeing what worked, seeing what didn't, and we can make changes as we see necessary. I think that with Queen's Pub specifically, we're working on building tradition, providing a safe space for students to eat and drink on campus. And I think that we do need to be incorporating student information, student feedback more, which as of right now, we are implementing surveys. So we've been going around campus, seeing students' perspective of the pub. And I think that this can be, although I'm speaking from my experience at the pub, I think that this can be expanded across all the services and commissions. I think that students really deserve to have more of a say, and they should be involved in the financial decisions more.
Awesome. Thank you for that answer. With the tuition freeze ending in 2026 to 2027 and financial pressures expected to rise, how will you ensure AMS services and infrastructure are equipped to support students facing potential tuition hikes?
I think that the important thing that I see with the AMS, in my research from other student organizations, especially with the rising cost of tuition. The one thing I would like to see is not increasing AMS fees. So as of right now, the AMS has one of the lowest student fees across all Ontario universities. I mean, ours is $72 a year. If we look at McMaster, it's $170. If we look at Waterloo, it's $270. If we look at Western, it's $430. These are estimates, but I think that an important piece of this is really advocating not to increase AMS student fees. I think that it's kind of out of our hands as far as tuition prices go, but advocacy is huge, and I think that the AMS is really working towards increasing having these difficult conversations with high-ups at Queen's, whether they are receptive or not, continuously pestering them, continuously bringing up these conversations in assembly. I mean, we've seen that Queen's doesn't care the most about student opinions. We've seen this in Queen's investments. You know, how many times has the AMS had conversations with Queen's about divesting from holdings linked to violations of human rights or from negative environmental impacts? We see that the Queen's doesn't really care that much. So what we can do as the AMS is control what we can, and this means keeping fees as low as possible, also working with our services to make services more affordable. Something that I've been working on at the pub is decreasing the prices of our menu offerings. I've been working alongside our chef for quite a while, really advocating for students after hearing student feedback that the pub is too expensive. So we've actually went through every single menu offering and decreased the prices significantly. So I think that this shows how committed I am to ensuring that Queen's the AMS is as affordable as possible, especially in the current landscape of increased tuition, increased housing, increased grocery costs. I think that the one thing that we can control in my portfolio is the services and how the AMS charges our students for membership fees.
Perfect. And for your final question, with the rising living costs contributing to increased demand for food services like the food bank and the peach market, how would you ensure that these services remain accessible and sustainable for students in the long term?
So I think that in my experience, I think that food bank and peach market are often overlooked services here on campus. I've spoken with Caroline herself, and although there have been a lot of improvements being made within food bank, they got a fee increase this year, which is huge, very helpful in offsetting the costs of inflation. I think that a big piece of addressing food insecurity on campus is really by increasing engagement with the food bank, and this comes from more marketing, more education. A lot of students don't even really know what the AMS is to begin with, but they don't know the offerings. And I think that the secluded location of the food bank is a good place to start. When I went to go to the food bank for my consultation with Caroline, I could not find that place for a good 10 minutes. So I think that proper signage, more marketing, more education is super important because students need to know what services are available for them. This is in the realm of food insecurity, but also all services and all commissions of the AMS. I also think that another piece that I was talking to Caroline about is the collaborations with other AMS services. We have more visible AMS services. You ask a first year, they probably know what CoGrow is, but do they know what the food bank is? That's probably a lot less likely. So one of my pillars is expanded collaborations across AMS services. I think that collaborating with our smaller, more forgotten about services like food bank is a great place to start. And I think that even building collaborations within the Kingston community, Caroline was telling me that a lot of communications with Queen Hospitality can butt heads a lot. There's a decrease in communication with certain corporations and nonprofit organizations in Kingston, like the Kingston Food Bank, for example. Communications there are really lacking, and I think that this is a place where you know, student fees and increasing student dollar student fees towards services like food bank can really only go so far. I think we need to be looking more into grants and other sources of income that we can increase, we can improve not only food bank, but some of our other organizations in the AMS as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for answering all of our questions. And now your closing statement, please.
Like Edward said, I'm very, very thankful for you all who came out today. This is a great crowd, and I know that AMS does see kind of a lack of engagement sometimes. So I'm hoping that we have some more joiners on the live stream as well. I've given a bit of a summary of my pillars and what I hope to see change in the AMS next year. But the one thing I really want to reiterate is that for me, this position isn't just about policies or meetings or budgets. It's really about the people. It's about the student staff who rely on support to do their jobs well. It's about students who want to understand where their student fees are going. It's about building systems that make sure the AMS feels welcoming, connected, and trustworthy. If elected, my focus will be on making sure every service feels heard and supported, that transparency is meaningful and accessible, and that collaboration becomes the norm rather than the exception. I want to help shift the AMS culture from reactive to proactive, from isolated to connected, and from vague to clear. I believe students deserve leadership that shows up consistently, listens to their concerns, and actually follows through. To put it simply, I don't lead from a distance. I think that my staff at the pub can really, really back me up on this, even though they can't be here today. I'm not the type of person who sits in an office, points fingers, and tells you what to do. I stand alongside the students that I support and that I represent. I think that this is super important, especially in the position of Vice President of Operations. I think we need more student feedback. We need more education. We need more financial transparency. From my conversations with students, they're very frustrated. They don't understand why there's a deficit. They don't understand where their fees are going. And this is something huge that I would really like to work on. One of my kind of goals for this year is to change the way that we are presenting our budgets and our financial information. Whether that's, I've been looking at other student government websites, and they actually have a page on their website that outlines where their student fees are actually going. I think this could be super, super important to bring into the AMS. Another conversation that I would like to bring into the spotlight is to move our budget presentations from December to earlier in the term. Our operating budget is done in the summer. I don't really see why it's being presented in December. That way we can use December Special Assembly as a way to reflect. We can use actual numbers that we do have at that time, and we can make a goal plan to move forward for the rest of the term. And most importantly, we can be transparent on these actuals and make sure that it's being presented to students in a way that they understand and in a way that's digestible to them, regardless if they have a financial background or regardless if they're in commerce. I think that everyone deserves an AMS that is trustworthy and supportive.
Thank you, Avery. I just want to say we have like a quick 5-minute break between Prez and Ops. Yeah, thank you. Talk to me, talk to me.
Talk to me, talk to me. Looks like we're making up for lost time. Need you to spell it out for me. Bossing over on all night. It's like a type of alchemy. Introduce me to your best friend.
the same way. But I can't tell with you sometimes. So baby, let's get on the same page. Stop making me read between the lines. Already know I can't leave it alone. You're on my mind. Already gave you the time and the place. So don't be shy.
Local Lives here at CFRC 101.9 FM. Local voices power our radio station every single day, and you too can power up our programming by making song requests via CFRC.ca and clicking the request button or messaging us via Instagram at CFRC Music. Tell us your song requests and favorite shows you want to hear them on. We'll also play song requests on our pop-up CFRC on-demand programs while shouting you out and reading off any dedications on your behalf. Click the request button today on CFRC.ca.
So for our final question period, we will ask questions to both of our presidential candidates, Drayden and Alex. So they'll both start off with opening statements, and then we'll have a question period with the pre-screen questions, and then finally close off with closing statements from the two. Thank you.
We'll now start with opening statements from Drayden George.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Drayden George. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm a fourth-year economics and environmental studies student here at Queens. And thank you so much for having me and being able to attend this debate tonight. And thank you so much for coming out. My experience at Queens is largely what drives my motivation for this role. My experience, you may have seen me on campus through several roles in the AMS, including the Social Issues Commissioner, External, the Clubs Commissioner, and the Commissioner of External Affairs, as well as this year's Chair of the Board of Directors. I also have been able to be involved in many clubs in our community to be able to kind of engage in advocacy work here. So that includes Queens Back in Action for the Climate Crisis, where I serve as the co-president for the past 2 years, as well as in clubs like Consensual Humans, Student for Literacy, and other clubs like the Queens Conference on Indigenous Reconciliation. These experiences have largely driven me to three main pillars, which is affordability, transparency, and engagement. These I would like derive from my past achievements and my experiences. I hope to be able to amplify and continue the work I've been able to do. Some of my major achievements in my role is including being able to be at the Busset negotiation table, where I was able to get the city to concede down $3.8 million over the value of the contract, saving about 24% reduction in the transit costs costed to students. Additionally, there was also the all candidates meeting that was organized for the provincial candidates within our election last year that I was happy to host and organize since pre-COVID. And as well, since pre-COVID, was reintroducing the general delegate application for all students within USA, and also reintroducing the resource centers. Additionally, in the time of Clubs Commission, I was able to bring an additional $30,000 for club grants, the club grants fee, and as well establish another position, and increase by 35% the MOU with the SGPS to make sure the SGPS is paying its fair share to the Clubs Commission so that the AMS students are not paying the bill. Additionally, some other examples is starting the AMS Awards Gala. That's an official event now. That was started back in my time at Clubs Commission as a passion project, which I was happy to start and is really happy to see continue. And additionally, the club's hiring fair. Within my time at the board chair, I've been able to statistically increase the productivity, attendance, and reporting of the board and its committees. And I've been enjoying the role there as well, and
extremely grateful for the opportunity. How I would like to lead is majorly through passion, commitment, resilience, and dedication, and openness to students to collaborate and communicate with me as their president. I would also make sure that my ambitious goals have a tangible delivery, utilizing my past experiences and making sure to be transparent with students on how that's progressing. I thank everyone for their time and coming, and I look forward to the debate today. Thank you.
We now ask that Alex MacArthur takes the podium for his opening remarks.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alex MacArthur. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm currently in my third year of the life sciences program here at Queen's. So if you don't know what that is, I study a lot about how the human body works and how things interact with the body as well. And I'm running to be your next AMS president. I've had a wide variety of roles here on campus. For the last 2 years, I've had the privilege of serving on the AMS board of directors, and I've been the personnel chair since January of last year. I've really gotten a chance to work with our human resources office, making sure all of our employee-facing policies are as equitable and accessible as possible. And I've also been the drum major since May of last year for Queen's Band. So if you've ever seen a ginger wearing a funny hat walking around campus, that was probably me. I'm really running on three main pillars here for my campaign, with the first being representation. I want to best represent students here on campus. I'm also running on a pillar of collaboration. I think every group here on campus really does want to make the student experience better here at Queen's. So we should be working together, not fighting each other while doing so. And my last pillar is transparency. Transparency really is a big buzzword that has popped up over the past few years, and it means many different things to many different people. So I want to make sure that the AMS not only is as transparent as it can possibly be, but working with the university so it becomes more transparent with its students. I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight, and I can't wait to have wonderful conversations with Drayden here tonight as well.
Thank you, Alex. Our first question: why do you want to be the Alma Mater Society's next president? We'll start with Alex.
I want to thank you, Alex, for that question. So I've been involved with student government here at Queen's since the end of my first year when I was appointed to the board of directors. And I kind of got to see how the corporate side of the AMS works and been involved in every single one of its committees that the board has had over the past 2 years. So that's really given me an insight on how students interact with the AMS, as well as interacting with this, not only its services, but every single office and commission we do have here as well. I've also had the privilege of being an orientation coordinator for the Faculty of Arts and Science this past year, where I got to interact with over 300 leaders and over 2,000 incoming first-year students, and got to hear their experiences and became a safe place for them to come to, talk about anything they want. You know, I've heard everything from I miss my mom to this is an awesome place and I can't wait to spend the next 4 years here. So really those experiences have pushed me to jump in the running for AMS president. I want to make sure that Queen's is a better place for students, not only next year, but over the next 5 to 10 years. I know the university is looking at making, releasing their bicentennial vision soon, over the next year, making sure that students have a continued impact in those decision-making processes, as well as ensuring that that plan keeps getting revisited. A 15 to 20 year plan is a very long plan, and it's very long time. So making sure that it's updated as it can be, as students have more and more input year over year.
Thank you, Alex. We now ask Drayden the same question. Why do you want to be the Alma Mater Society's next president?
Thank you. The main reason I would want to be the next president, I think, is for my dedication towards trying to improve student outcomes, and specifically through things like their standard of living, through things like housing and food insecurity, and also the cost of living and how much we charge students as well through our services and our fees. I would like to be able to deliver on this, and what drives me to be able to want to be best fit for that role is through my experience and being able to kind of build on that. My time at Queen's, I've been able to definitely be really involved across a multifaceted approach for the AMS. Oftentimes, a president isn't going to be able to come in with half the commissioners working in as a manager of half the commissioners, as well as a chair of the board. At the same time, I also serve as my community's Economic Development Corporation president and chair, which is also a $10 million organization where we manage different services. So I feel like I can bring a very different perspective across governance, corporate, and the general connection tissue, which is the offices and the president's role. I think bringing that perspective, I can make sure not to sacrifice students' advocacy and desires for their representation, but also make sure to not increase the deficit, but actually reduce it, while also producing good investments for students that actually reduce daily cost of living. And I would also say, lastly, what drives my role for the president is the dedication for resilience for students. So I think making sure that we are setting a culture that is proactively communicative and trying to be engaging and collaborative and open to every student on campus and every student body in turn, including FACSOCs and clubs. And so that's what drives my role to be, or my passion to be the next AMS president, and why I think I'd be best fit is I think I could deliver tangible goals on ambitious actions.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Drayden. This next question is also for you. Queen's has recently developed its own artificial intelligence interface, LibreChat. The university notes that it can be used by staff and instructors to support and accelerate administrative tasks for uses in teaching and learning, teaching, learning, and research. With all